Hello, this is Dana Snyder from Aqua Teen Hunger Force. You're listening to the Action Room. It's where action lives. Action rules your face.
Okay, and welcome to the very first inaugural edition of
The Action Room.
A place for pop culture, everything and everything, comic books.
Music.
Movies.
Video games.
More video games. And I am Tony Wolf, and my co-host here,
Afua Richardson.
The Action Room, coming to you from the front lines of pop culture. Well, we got some interesting interviews with some other comics luminaries. We talked to, and not only comics people, because what's interesting about this convention, and I think other conventions that are coming up, now that comics are becoming more melded with Hollywood.
Very true.
And that whole pop culture world, this sort of Entertainment Weekly sensibility, there were a number of sort of television and movie personalities and media personalities there.
Right.
We spoke with Sandy Taylor, who is a Playmate, who has risen to fame as a result of her appearances on The Howard Stern Show. We also spoke to the voice of Master Shake from Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Dana Snyder.
Awesome.
And Joyce DeWitt, who has nothing to do with comic books whatsoever.
Three's Company.
Which one was she? Chrissy?
No, it was Janet.
Janet. Yes.
Come on, man. Where's your 80s nostalgia?
And we also spoke briefly. We didn't get an interview, but we spoke with him briefly. John Wesley Shipp, who played the Flash in the 90s television series, which Howard Chaykin also worked on.
90s.
Speaking of Flash, I think I was listening to Queen's...
Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
Nice.
Wonder of the Universe? Yeah. This morning, I was, you know, cleaning up my house for my open house I'm looking for a new roommate.
Oh, right.
And there were some interesting folks who showed up. A few bass players, Dominatrix.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dominatrix. You just kind of snuck that one right in there. And she volunteered the information that she was a Dominatrix?
Well,
it's a little surprising to me.
Yeah, I draw comics, and I don't know, maybe that just opened a door that...
Right.
She felt comfortable enough to
comics
say that she
and dominatrix,
beats people.
It's the same world, really.
I beat people for money. And then what?
And, you know, Afua is a very talented illustrator and comics artist, but not a dominatrix, not even the remotest form.
I was asked once. I think I'm tall enough.
Is there a height qualification to be a dominatrix?
You must be at least 5'8 to ride this ride.
What's all that about?
I said it on this session. A friend of mine who was a dominatrix was like, yeah, you should, you know, check it out. I'm like,
okay.
Sure. And she was riding this guy around a room on a
like
saddle.
Like on him.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She had a saddle and he had a bit in his mouth. Anyway.
Wow.
Back to comics.
Our producer Mike attended the 8 Days of Horror Film Festival.
Eight films to die for.
That's what I said. Eight films to die for. Eight days of horror. It was a great horror festival. It was in the city just a few weeks ago with a lot of movies that might not otherwise get a theatrical release, trying to circumvent the straight to DVD path. And giving these movies a chance to be shown as they were truly meant to be shown for a live audience in a wonderful darkened theater. And Mike, your favorite was a film called Grave Dancers. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we'll have an interview with the director later in the show. But
fantastic.
We'll talk about that.
Excellent.
When I'm ready. I'm not prepared.
He's not
decent.
Quite ready. He's not decent. Mike.
He's walking around.
Put some clothes on right now, young man.
Robe and bunny slippers.
Sorry.
Get those boxers off and put on some proper pants for the Action Room.
Ow! He's ready for action.
We don't demand much here at the Action Room, but we do demand that our studio personnel be properly clothed. Yeah, so one of the interviews we got was with Dana Snyder, the voice of Master Shake of the Aqua Teen Hunger Force, in which Dana tells us the story of how he landed this plum role and became
the cartoon legend that he's become. Let's have a listen.
This is Tony Wolf here for the Action Room, and I'm here with Dana Snyder, the voice of Master Shake. Dana, how are you doing today?
We're doing fantastic.
How did you find yourself getting the job of voicing Master Shake?
I went to college with the girl who went to high school with the guy, with Dave Willis, the guy who made the show. And then he called her up and he's like, oh, we're auditioning for this thing, but we don't have anybody. You know anybody who's got a weird voice? She was like, hey, call my friend Dana. So then I called at like 3 in the morning, but I was out with my friends, had a few drinks. And he was like, ah, that was great. He was like, then the next I had to leave it on his voice, so the next minute he erased it. He's like, could you do it again? So then I did it during the day, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. It just didn't sound as good as the first time you did it. And I'm thinking, like, you mean at like 3 in the morning when I was like shit-faced?
You needed to be exhausted and drunk, basically.
Then I went out and did it again, and he's like, can you re-record? I went out again and got back at 3 o'clock in the morning and did it again. And the rest is history, Toonie.
Had you done voiceover work before that?
No. I did theater. So that's all I did was, like, live burlesque shows and stuff, you know. We did.
Any fun anecdote stories about the making of the show, behind the scenes?
Well, you know, I'm never there. I'm in a booth by myself somewhere else. Like, that's it. Like, I don't do anything.
What's the atmosphere like at Adult Swim, the environment? Is it corporate? Is it relaxed?
It's sweaty. It smells like cheese a lot. Cheese and fish. An odd mixture of cheese and fish. It's very strange. It's disturbing, actually.
Hey, this is Sandra Taylor, and you're listening to The Action Room.
Sandy Taylor, a frequent Howard Stern guest,
mm-hmm.
Playboy playmate, lovely woman with sort of a wholesome Midwestern farm girl.
Because at these conventions, they sometimes have Playboy playmates and,
yes,
you know, things that aren't exactly comic related.
Things to appease the
well,
nerds.
Well, it is comic related when you think about it. Think about how they depict a lot of the women, you know.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Hey, I don't mind it.
Well, what's interesting, this is
how do you like women to be depicted?
Depicted.
No, but what's interesting about women in comics, and I always sort of feel like it's an equal opportunity idealization.
Right.
Because although all the women have crazy supermodel bodies and huge jugs and boobs, the men...
Huge responsibilities.
You know, women say they get huge responsibilities. I like that. Now, you know, women complain about the women being idealized, but all the men look like Adonis. They look like Michelangelo sculptures. How about the men being idealized? I'd like to say I feel objectified as a comic fan,
yeah,
and my feelings are hurt.
That's because most guys wouldn't mind being objective.
Hi, this is Joyce DeWitt, and you are listening to The Action Room.
Does Superman lift weights? Not so much. I think John Byrne, actually, when he took over Superman, he put in this interesting little character detail that Clark Kent kept a bunch of weights around his apartment for visitors to see.
To make him look like.
To see, like, because he actually does have, you know, you can't be Superman and hide the fact that you have some muscles.
Well, of course.
So he had this little sort of, so if anyone questioned why does Clark Kent have muscles, to show that he actually works out, that doesn't really make much sense now that I think about
right.
But go ahead. Well, we got a little horror festival that was called...
8 Films to Die For.
Why do we always forget that?
8 Films to Die For.
Well, so I went to... This is Mike. I went to the festival.
This is Mike with his report on the horror festival.
I went to the festival and I saw all 8 films. I thought they were good.
Very impressive.
Yeah, I know.
Give a big hand for his stamina for seeing all 8 films.
For having too much free time. And so I saw all eight films. There were actually 9, and they were all pretty good, but I would say the best one was Grave Dancers. And we have an interview with him.
During the shoot.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. So wow. Let's take a
look. So listen. Let's just take a listen to that.
Hello, this is Mike for The Action Room, and I'm talking to Mike Mendez, the director of Grave Dancers, one of the films featured at the 8 Films to Die For Horror Film Festival. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us specifically about Grave Dancers, which I personally thought was the best at the festival.
Oh, thank you very much. That's great. Thanks.
Well, just tell us a little bit about the story, plot.
Grave Dancers is about a group of three friends that return to a cemetery to for the grave of a fourth friend that they had in college, where they and they decide that they want to say goodbye to him in a less traditional way. So they break into the cemetery and have a toast over his grave, and they find a strange card placed on it. And so they being drunk and having a good time, they read the card aloud. And it's about celebrating life and dancing, and they you know, one thing leads to another, and they end up reading this card aloud and dancing on the grave, which is actually an ancient curse that allows the ghost that they danced on to follow them home for 30 days until they're brought to their doom.
You put so much effort into something like this. How do you feel about it not having a wide theatrical release?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, we went through a year of a lot of rejection from about every distributor, kind of going, yeah, this, we're looking for Hostel. That's all. Well, that's all we're looking for right now is, you know, stuff like Hostel. I like Hostel. It's fine. You know, but I don't think that, you know, we just need to keep repeating the same thing. You know, I think that's kind
definitely
of interesting. When it did come out, you know, and all our showings were sold out, and you know, the reaction was great, even though that whole entire year was very depressing for me, you know, it really kind of made up for it.
Do you feel like in the future theaters are going to die off?
I certainly think there are going to be less theatrically released movies. You know, I think obviously as the box office starts to die off, I think you're going to, you know, I hope, you know, that the theatrical experience won't go away. And I think there are certain movies that, you know, need to be seen in theaters and need to be experienced with other people. But, you know, obviously I think as time goes on, they're probably just going to focus more on the big kind of Pirates of the Caribbean, you know,
right,
Superman type, you know, blockbuster type things. And a lot more is, gonna end up coming to DVD, you know. I also think that things are gonna change in theaters, such as 3D IMAX.
When can Grave Dancers be available on DVD?
Grave Dancers will be available March 27th. I believe all the movies actually will be available March 27th, and you should be able to find it everywhere at Best Buy and Target and Walmart and everything.
We've been talking with Mike Mendez, director of Grave Dancers, which was one of the films at the 8 Films to Die For Horror Film Festival, and hopefully available. Well, actually, it will be available on DVD soon. We hope you can visit the Action Room in the future when you're a big, big, big Hollywood horror director.
All right, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
That's right, the Action Room coming to you live from the top of the Statue of Liberty.
In the torch.
We received a permit from Mayor Mike Bloomberg to trudge up here on a weekly basis. And it's such a beautiful view. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to see the water gleaming off the water, the moonlight gleaming off the water. I see the Freedom Towers cement foundation that's just been poured. I can see that from here.
Staten Island Ferry.
59th Street Bridge.
Ellis Island.
The bridge where Gwen Stacy was killed when the Green Goblin took Spider-Man over there in that legendary Silver Age issue.
And Spider-Man himself.
And that might bring us to a close of our first edition to the Action Room. The Action Room, where the action is in your...
room!
In your room.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us on our very first edition of the Action Room. And we'll be back next week with a groundbreaking interview with Joe Quesada. We've got Rosario Dawson coming up. We've got Matt Lauer scheduled.
And Kelly Minucci.
We're also going to talk with Harvey Weinstein and Justin Timberlake. He's bringing the sexy back to comic books.
Bye.
Yeah, peace out, people.
Later, guys.